get my fill. Eyes that shine, burning red, dreams of you all through my head. Say what? Ho, this is Brian, gonna make you burn, gonna make you sting, Gardner. Coming to you from Ramblin' Towers Dungeon Studio in scenic and a little bit warmer Hespler, Ontario. And you are listening to Ramblin' Radio episode 91 on the Off the Cuff Podcasting Network. Welcome to Ramblin' Radio, the only Led Zeppelin podcast on this or any other known internets. Be sure to go to ramblinradio.com for all your Led Zeppelin news, reviews, and any links I might mention during the show. You can subscribe to Ramblin' Radio through iTunes. If you're on iTunes, pop it. Even if you're not downloading the podcast, pop over to Ramblin' Radio at iTunes and leave a review. And it just the more reviews, the more kind of ratings it gets, the more likely it is to be noticed in the search engines and by the iTunes peoples. You can listen on Spreaker. Be sure to go follow Ramblin' Radio on Spreaker. That's Spreaker, SPREAKER.com. And check me out on YouTube. I have some podcasts posted on YouTube. Not everyone. I will sometime this week get last week's posted on YouTube. I'm not racing to get it up, but we will do that too. As well, it's worth pointing this out. The server that I use for the file is Podbean. It's I am Brian Dammit at Podbean, and you can kind of follow me there. You can download direct from there. You can, I think they have an app on their phone. I should probably start mentioning that on the thing. So if you go to Podbean, there's a place to listen to it as well. And I actually kind of came up this week because apparently the files were downloading with a Podbean instead of my usual physical graffiti cover graphic for a little while, and then the other returned. I don't know what happened there, but and as that was pointed out to me, I was thinking, I should be mentioning this. So there you go, I'm mentioning it. What do you got? Okay. And from a social network standpoint, I'm on Facebook, Ramblin' Radio on Facebook, Google Plus, and at Ramblin' Blog on Twitter. People on that will know this week I posted a picture of a book I found. I have to see if I can find my Twitter here. See if you can find my Twitter. The book was called... here we are. It was The Drawings of Gustav Dore, or a German, and he did illustration, great classic illustrations, including Paradise Lost, and I have seen his drawings from Paradise Lost, The Divine Comedy, Idols of King, Don Quixote, and The Raven. The cover was actually the picture that Jimmy Page used for Lucifer Rising, the soundtrack cover. And the sweatshirt, I kind of held it up, and I go, does this look familiar to you, to my wife? She goes, actually, yeah, it does. And she looks at it for a minute. I go, that's my sweatshirt. I have that sweatshirt. Oh, yeah. So I have the sweatshirt. But it's absolutely the picture from the cover. It's cropped differently on the cover, but that's about it. So if you go to Facebook, Ramblin' Radio, go to Twitter, check out at Ramblin' Blog, and you can see that picture. And the intro was Black Dog from apparently Justin Adams, and I have something in common, horrifically bad at remembering little licks on the guitar. And I'll tell you why I say that, as soon as I find my pick that I just dropped. I've already stopped the recording once. This is going to be a, Doesn't Happen podcast, I think. The Doesn't Happen Podcasting Network. All right, so here's me remembering how to play the lick on Black Dog. forget. And that is exactly what Justin Adams pretty much plays there. They go, whatever. They got the groove going, and he goes. And then he starts singing again, right? You just heard it on the intro, so you know what I mean. So apparently Justin Adams can't remember that last bit of the lick, neither can I. So I'm going to cut him some slack on that one. And in fairness, I quite liked, that was from Robert Plant in Chile, the intro, on the Saturday, I think it was Saturday, and it's been pro shot, there's a pro shot video of it, it's available online, it's available at rambleonradio.com, in fact, I posted the video, it's the entire concert, and it's kicked up a notch, it's, the roar is actually back a bit, I would say more than a bit, I was going to write down the set list, and, didn't, but, because there was an oddity in there. There was a Black Dog and Rock and Roll were rocked up again. The thing about Black Dog was, and he was doing it in a way, and I've complained often on this show, so we'll not get too deep into it. But he was playing it in a way that threw everything out except for the words. And to my mind, that's not the same song. The words do not make the song. The groove is part of it. The lick is part of it. The John Paul Jones brought to the table. Okay, here's the set list. Babe, I'm Gonna Leave You. Turn It Up, Rainbow, Black Dog, Little Maggie, Going to California. Watching You, No Place to Go, What Is and What Should Never Be. Fixing to Die, Whole Lot of Love, and Rock and Roll. Whole Lot of Love / Who Do You Love and Rock and Roll. Haven't listened to the Whole Lot of Love yet. So I guess Watching You is from Manic Nirvana, right? Is that the one I gotta remember? My mind's apparently in a zone today, and it's not a good zone. You know what I mean? So Watching You is from Manic Nirvana. A nice throw in there. No Place to Go is a Howlin' Wolf cover, by the way. Turn It Up. I was looking at Turn It Up thinking that was that's why I was distracted on that. I was thinking the second song was the Manic Nirvana song, and I knew it wasn't Turn It Up, but I was looking at it going, hey, wait a minute. So the rock songs, Black Dog, Rock and Roll, he kicked them up. He rocked them up. Watching You sounded good. Overall, it's actually a good show. Promising show based on what he's saying. He kicked up, like saying Black Dog has got the groove back and it's got most of the lick back, and I have no objection to changing stuff up a little. And so what they did with Black Dog here, and take the last part off the lick, I joke that he doesn't remember it. Off the top of my head I don't, but I could get it in about 5 minutes, and I'm sure Justin Adams would take even less time than me. By sheer virtue of the fact that he plays every day, that's his job. Never mind that he's actually better than me. More coffee. Need more coffee. Just blanking out today. Changed the lick up a little. It's still recognizable as the lick, and then they gave it something a little different. Interesting way to do it, and yeah, no problems. I'll take that all day. It's when you completely bastardize what the song was that I kind of start to have difficulties, you know? And it's not just a rock thing. Like, if he came out and did let's get away from Robert Plant. Let's say Jimmy Page came out and did Going to California, and he basically did a hard rock version of Going to California. I would sit and go, hold on a minute, that's not quite right. Or conversely, if they which may be even closer to what Robert does, if Jimmy came out and did Black Dog, had some guy come out and make up his own lyrics to it. You know, let Chris Farnell or whatever come out and sing about the weasel in his trousers to it or something. You would say, wait a minute, that's not right either. That's not respecting, you know, the other man's part of the work. Now, if Jimmy came out and did an instrumental version of it, let the audience, because the audience would pick up the singing and stuff, that's kind of a little different. I just don't know why it's different. But in my mind, it's different. But anyway, that's always been my kind of beef with what he's done with Black Dog. And times he did it to Rock and Roll, and at times he did it to Driven to Van and Joy. He did it to Houses of the Holy. And he hasn't done any of that here. They're all good versions of the songs. And which is promising because he's got a tour coming up. Wasn't going to be the first thing I talked about, but no, it's not going to be either. It is. Bouncing all over the place here. All right, so Robert's announced a tour. It will do, well, he's in South America now. It will hit North America fairly significantly and then into UK and Europe. And that will take him through to August. With tickets to the tour, buy a ticket, get a CD of Lullaby and the Ceaseless Roar. Which, I don't know, maybe that's incentive for you. Let's face it, if you're listening to this, you probably made the decision to buy or not to buy Lullaby and the Ceaseless Roar. With no bearing on based on the music, right? You either, fair number of people here, myself included, would be, I'm enough of a Robert Plant fan that I just buy it automatically. And yes, I have bitched about having done that this time out. I have ranted, I believe would be the phrase. But that's what you do when you're a fan, and it's the same that I'm kind of, people are getting their Jimmy Page, and this is the other thing we're going to talk about today. People are getting their soundtracks now. And I'm thinking, you know, the LPs would have been, I forget what I said it was, 100 and something. I think it would have been $100 to get the LPs here. And now that people are getting them and they're saying, wow, this sounds great and stuff, I'm kind of sitting going, oh, maybe I'll order it now. And I'm looking at it. So that's what you do as a fan, right? And I swore I was not buying the Robert Plant Lullaby and the Ceaseless Roar CD, the new one after the Band of Joy. I swore I wouldn't do it until I heard it and decided I had liked it. Then I heard Rainbow and decided I liked it. And ran out and bought it, and of course I ended up regretting it. And you know, yeah. So I'm right now tossing around regretting purchasing the Jimmy Page set that's just come out. And that's part of being a fan, I suppose. That's just what it is. But he's including a CD with the ticket, the price of the ticket. So if you're like me and you bought it and it sits unopened on your shelf, big whoop. Keep your CD. And look, when I bought the album, they included an MP3 download. Because I pre-ordered the album, I got to download the day of, so that they shipped, you know, they shipped the album out, but I already had the music in my iPod. So I got it. I have the music anyway. There was no need to open the album because I've heard the music. I've got a clean version. I've got a legal, clean copy on my MP3 player. I don't need a CD of it. I really don't. So that's not incentive for me to buy tickets. And I can't imagine, it's kind of an odd thing to do, because let's face reality, that gets tacked on to the price of your ticket, right? Here in Toronto, it's $44.75 to $123.25, including service charges and stuff. Let's rough it up to $50 to $135 is going to be the price you pay. How much of that is CD? What's that going to be, $10? And it's a year old CD almost now. So if you haven't bought it already, you don't want it that bad. Because you want to go see Robert Plant sing some old Led Zeppelin songs. You want the one opportunity to sing along to Black Dog with Robert Plant. Or whatever reason people... And I'm not saying you can't like this or go for this reason. But lots of people go see Robert Plant because he sings Going to California. Lots of people are seeing Robert Plant because of these things. All these, you know, and they're... And so do they want the CD? And the answer is probably not. Probably if they wanted it, they'd buy it. Maybe maybe there's an element of people out there who don't actually know he's got a new CD who want to go see him because he's singing Going to California and Why Doesn't Watch It Never Be and a Whole Lot of Love. I had no idea he has a new CD. And I presume they will mail a CD, so okay, now I got a chance to listen to the songs. Maybe that's what they're after. But it's an odd thing to do, I think, although it's... I shouldn't say it's odd, because it's not odd. It's happening more and more. And what it is really is a product. It's trying to... We get into some weird stuff here, but I have a long-standing theory that recorded music is a virtual dead end. It's become, you know, I could record a fairly professional quality album on the computer that I'm recording this on. If you have some knowledge, some skill, and basic software, and I wouldn't have to upgrade anything to do it, I have everything here, except for the talent. That would be the lacking bit in the songs. Don't have the songs, don't have the talent, don't have the singer. But you can record, basically you could record. See, the fact that they go into professional studios and do this, and this, and come out with whatever they come out with is a bit superfluous at this stage. You don't really need to do that. It's getting really close to the stage where you don't need to do it at all. Kevin Shirley, for instance, if you follow his blog or his Twitter feed and stuff, he talks about taking his computer home and kind of mixing there. Then he's got a studio of his own. He goes in there and plugs it in and kind of listens to it properly through the good speakers. But that sort of place doesn't require, it does, you know, it's just one of those, there's going to be a time when it's not worth their while. And yes, I get that there's an advantage to a soundproof room. I get there's an advantage to having, recording everything separate and... spending a few days getting all the sounds exactly right. I get that there's an advantage. But, let's be clear on this. That's not how they recorded Led Zeppelin 2, for example. It's not how they recorded Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band. It's not how they recorded all those classic Atlanta record songs, the Ray Charles stuff from the early 60s, or the Chess records. They put all these guys in one studio, and away they went. And then maybe they had a second track that they could... But in a lot of cases, the music that sounds great, even today, was recorded on a single take. You sing, you play, go. And guys would, you know, Jimmy Page talks about and the early 60s sessions. Oh, story. Never mind. I have to dig it up. So Jimmy Page talks about early 60s sessions, you know, where they did... like two sides a session, which means a record. So there's no need for the expensive recording of CDs and whatnot. And it's going to come down to these guys make their money live on tour. That's where it's kind of come from. And the music will be a throw-in, you know? The way it's shaping out now is actually CDs look like they're disappearing. And it'll be records. And it'll be downloads, and the downloads may very well be free someday, and if you want your own copy, then we'll sell you probably a CD or a record for, you know, the $40 or whatever it is, and that's a keepsake. So guys like me will get the keepsakes. People like my wife, who just wants some friggin' music on her phone, she'd be happy too. And then you will tour, not to support the music, you will tour... because that's how you make a living. And a lot of people, there are people in the music business that think, well, I should get paid for everything I do. I should get paid in perpetuity for that bass track I recorded in 1973. But you know, I built cars for a living. I don't get paid in perpetuity for a car I built in 1988. I built the car, I got paid for doing it, and I move on. You do that at your job. You do what you do, you get paid for what you do when you do it. And if somebody sells a car, if I built a car and when I first started, the first car I touched in 1988 when I went, if you own that and you're the third owner and you go out and sell it today, I don't get money for that. I don't get money for that. Nor should I. it's an outrageous, it's a bizarre suggestion. But musicians think, I should be paid in perpetuity for that one job. And it's a mindset that makes sense to us because we're used to it. Yeah, I'm going into weird places I didn't really want to go. But it is, and I don't mean to diminish what musicians do or intellectual copyright, etc., etc. I understand all that. It's the history of the world is of music being basically like any other commodity. You produce it, you get paid for it once, you move on. Musicians work till they're 80 because that's what you do, because that's the choice you made. You work till you drop, and that doesn't necessarily have to be how it go, by the way. There's certainly a lot of money to be made, but there was a time when musicians really wouldn't retire unless they had to, not that long ago. And lots of guys in their 20s made some great records. In the 60s, guys in their 20s made great records, and by the time they were 30, they were delivering mail to your house, and they spent the next 30 years telling people, that was me. or the next 50 years. Yeah, oh no, I had a hit record in 1958. Those guys exist. Lots of them. And there's no reason that extraordinary wealth has to go with making music, I guess is my point. And this is a symptom that notion is coming to an end. That's why they're including the CDs, because the CD is valueless. Although, as I said, they're probably adding, I'm being inconsistent here. They're probably adding $5 to $10 to your ticket to cover the cost of the CD. And you know what? All that said, Robert Plant's never going to have to worry about where the money's coming from. He's got that advantage. Really, when you'll see the changes. Oh, shut up, Brian. Nobody cares about your philosophical theories on this. No, when you'll see the changes is after the changing of the guard. After guys like the Stones and Robert Plant and Jimmy Page are no longer making music. Well, Jimmy Page is probably no longer making music, but after the Who are no longer touring, Roger Waters is no longer out there, and even U2 and stuff. That's when you really see the shift. There's too many bands out there distorting it with the kind of past glory type tours. Right now, but that'll come, that's going to fade out, and anyway, then we'll start to see how the music industry shakes out. All right, so I mentioned Jimmy Page doing sessions in 63. I just enjoyed this. I'm reading a book called Funny Girl. I'm pointing it at the computer as if you could see it. Funny Girl by Nick Hornby. Big Nick Hornby. I've loved Nick Hornby ever since High Fidelity. And I was in the bookstore the other day, and well, same day I noticed the Gustav, what's his name, book. And so I picked this up. I didn't even realize he had released it. It was released last year. Probably late last year. Probably for Christmas. But it says definitely 2014 release date. It's hardback, so it's still in hardback. And it's called Funny Girl. And it's about a girl from the north of England who goes to London and becomes a big star in a comedy show in 1964. And here's something they say. So this is 1964. They're looking for a soundtrack for their show. They're looking for the opening number. Any suggestions, says Dennis? I'd get either a pop group to play a jazz tune or a jazz saxophonist to do a song by the Beatles or something. A couple of days later, he had his theme tune. Ron Grainer had asked the record producer called Shel Talmy at Decca Records to recommend a session guitarist. Talmy had told him to use a young man called Jimmy Page. Under Grainer's supervision, Page played Miles Davis' So What in sort of blues band style, and it sounded terrific, Dennis thought. Oh, what the hell, said Bill when he heard it. What's wrong with it? We haven't written that kind of script, said Tony. What kind of script have you written? It's all moody and classy. This is all moody and classy. We're not moody and classy. Get him to do Freddy Freeloader. What's that? It's the next cut on the LP. How does it go? Da, da, da. I don't know how it goes either. So Dennis nodded his head and thoughtful along to the music. You can see what Bill meant. It's not funny, but at least it's cheerful. Dennis got Jimmy Page to do Freddy Freeloader the next afternoon. He had now gone through 58 pounds and 4, etc., etc. So anyway, the idea is Jimmy Page recorded the session music for this particular show. And by the way, this is a work of fiction. It was kind of fun reading it and going, hey, I know that guy is. There's another one. She's in a club. She's now a star. Although she doesn't quite get it. And basically Keith Ralph hits on her. And there is this... I feel like I've stood in this exact spot having this exact conversation. Ever have that? I've got it just now, just a second, she says. My mom and dad, said Keith suddenly. I beg your pardon? And he's talking to the girl who's, you know, my mom and dad like you, but I don't know how they know you or how I know that they know you and like you. He seemed genuinely perplexed. I don't blame them, by the way. You're gorgeous. Sorry, it goes around. I'm on the wrong page. Well, here he goes. Okay. The sound of her voice sparked something in the recesses of Keith's memory. You're the missus in that program. That's why I know you. My dad's in love with you. I went around there for dinner and I wasn't allowed to speak. They had to watch. They never miss it. What's it called? I don't believe this. Mr. Magic, who's the guy she's with, and the bird my dad loves off the telly. I'm Keith from the Yardbirds. Pleased to meet you. He offered his hand to Maurice, who then put his drinks down on the table to take it. Sophie gave him a little wave. Well, I don't watch either of you myself. God bless the pair of you for keeping the older ones happy anyway. Anyway, it turned out meant goodbye, and Keith walked away. Who were the Yardbirds, said Maurice when Keith had gone. They're a pop group, but she had never heard of them, etc., etc. So anyway, so there's a couple of nice little references in there. Keith Ralph, Jimmy Page. Not done the book yet. There might be more. Not a bad book, though. If you're a Nick Hornby fan, I think you'll enjoy that. All right. So I'm blabbering away about nothing. Enjoying? Are you enjoying this? Good, let us begin. All right, so Robert's on tour. He's giving away a CD with the tickets. $44.75 to $123.25 here in Toronto. That's no these. I probably won't be going. Based on the Chili show, I could consider it. That's what he's going to play. I'm not necessarily out. And it's playing the Molson Amphitheater here in Toronto, which has lawn seats, which has just a lawn. Like the $44.75 will be up in the lawn. And in the middle of June, that's a nice, that's actually a nice place to see a show. You can get up there and have a beer. And it might be all right. Might be an all right way to go. So I might consider, but there's other stuff on that weekend for me. I got some family in from England. So if I do go, it'll be a last minute. It'll be, okay, we're not doing anything today. All right, I'm going to the show. It's either a Saturday or Sunday. I think it's a Sunday night, actually. All right. So here's the tour. 3 days ago on the 16th of March, Santiago, Chile. On the 19th, that would be today, Thursday the 19th, Asuncion, PY. I'm not sure what PY, Peru? I'm not sure what PY is. This is South America, by the way. Buenos Aires, on the 21st, Buenos Aires, Argentina. 24th, Rio de Janeiro in Brazil. On the 26th, Belo Horizonte in Brazil. On the 28th, Sao Paulo, Brazil. On April 25th, Washington, D.C., the Kennedy Center. And that's a all on its own. That's one month after Sao Paulo, Brazil, 1 month before the proper tour starts, is one Kennedy Center show. So that must be a special show, but I'm not sure what it is. Lots, by the way, lots of festivals here. Generally, the weekends are taken up by festivals. And weekdays for regular shows is generally, so anyway, January, March, April, May 24 starts the actual tour. George Washington, the Sasquatch Festival. 25th of May, Bend, Oregon, in the La Schwab Amphitheater. 27th of May, Salt Lake City, Utah. 28th of May in Las Vegas, Nevada at the Brooklyn Bowl. The 30th of May in Napa, California at the Bottle Rock Festival. We had talked about that one previously. 31st of May, Santa Barbara, California, the Santa Barbara Bowl. The 2nd of June, Los Angeles at the Greek. The 5th of June, Hunter, New York at the Mountain Jam Festival. The 7th of June, Toronto, Ontario at the Molson Amphitheater. The 9th of June, Rochester Hills and Meadowbrook in MI. The Meadowbrook Music Festival, MI, Michigan. The 10th of June, Chicago, First Merit Bank Pavilion. The 12th of June, Memphis in the Mud Island Amphitheater. The 12th of 14th of June in Manchester, Tennessee at the Bonnaroo Festival. Presumably, they're doing a show that weekend, but it's not set exactly when yet. The 15th of June, Raleigh, North Carolina at the Kooka Booth Amphitheater. Philadelphia on the 17th of June at the Mann Center. And then we go into July. July 10, 11, Gloucester at the Forest Live. The 14th, Stockholm, Sweden. Gröna Lund, Tivoli. The 16th of July, Molde, Norway at the Molde Jazz Festival. M-O-L-D-E, by the way. The 18th of July at Pori, at the Pori Jazz Festival. I'm not sure, what's that, Finland? Salakriva. I have no idea. The 19th of July in Salakriva at the Postivus Festival. Apparently my European geography is not the bestest. 21st of July at Charlotte Valley PL. The Charlotte Valley Amphitheater PL would be Poland? The 23rd of July, BRNO, I have no idea how to pronounce that, Czechoslovakia at the Halle Rondo. 28th of July in Frankfurt, Germany at the Jahrhundert, Jahrhunderthal. And 31st of July in Nottedden, Norway at the Nottedden Blues Festival. The 8th of August in Laudernau, France at the Fête de Brut Festival. 11th of July in Munich, and the 12th of July in Colmore, France, at the something Alsace Festival. So there you go. That's his tour. As it stands now, tickets available, etc., etc. They go on general sale tomorrow here in Toronto, for instance. Today is if you have a pre-sale, and I'm sure I could dig up a pre-sale if I wanted. But like I say, I'll be, we'll see. We'll see. That's all. I'll be requesting access, by the way. I'll be contacting his people. But I won't be getting in that direction. It doesn't happen that way. But I'll give it a go. So that's Robert. And, could be a good tour. Could be a good show. This year compared to last year, from my perspective anyway. And I know some people seem somewhat excited by it. Booking their holidays, etc. All right, so soundtracks, the Jimmy Page soundtracks 4LP, 4CD set is shipping now. It's at people's homes now. Here's the funny thing. People are saying, wow, it sounds great. Now, this is Lucifer Rising, which was released like 3 years ago. And Death Wish 2 soundtrack, which they re-released 3 years ago, and I've been going back through my old episodes, and I have it marked. Episode 6 in October 2011, I announced that Lucifer Rising was being released. In September of 2011, on the third episode of this podcast, the announcement for Death Wish 2 re-release came out. They were remastering, re-releasing, such and such. Now people are saying, "Wow, it sounds great, so much better than the previous releases." And you go, "Wait a minute. That was 3 years ago, and I spent $40 3 years ago to get Lucifer Rising. And now you're telling me there's a better version of it? Say what? Say what? That's absurd. That's absurd. That's a ripoff. If there's a better version of it than he did, because there's no excuse. This is not like... Well, in 1972, this is what we could do. So that's why, you know, Death Wish 2, it's better now because in 1982, this was our limit of technology. Fine, we get that. But what's the difference between the limit in technology now and 2011? What's the difference, Jimmy? Zero, that's what. Except you get a chance to sell it again and rip off your fans. Now, if it's not actually much better than the previous thing, you're at least knowingly ripping them off. That is to say, you release it, they can buy it. right? But if you've improved the quality since 3 years ago, then shame on you. Shame on you, Jimmy Page. So many people sink so much cash into keeping you in the lifestyle of which you're accustomed to. And you just... that's just taking advantage of it. And it's not right. It's not good enough. I didn't know I was going to say that. I didn't know I was going to go there. That's interesting. And I'm trying to find an email here as I go, because somebody pointed something out. Now, apparently in the bonuses, there's some interesting stuff. That's kind of the key point. Like, I wouldn't buy, oh, it's a better sound quality, so I guess I better get it. A Minor Sketch is one of the ones it's called. And apparently at about the 3-minute mark, and of this, two or three people have made this comment now, sounds like the Stairway to Heaven solo beginning. So he's experimenting with something which becomes the Stairway to Heaven solo, is what it sounds like. And according to the liner notes, the track is a demo from the early 70s. So what's, but, you know, is it like, Stairway to Heaven was pretty much early 70s. So can we assume it was pre-Stairway to Heaven? I haven't heard it, by the way. I have not heard any of the stuff, so I have no actual comment on the music as it stands yet. I actually keep looking for, you know, you keep expecting it to hit the internet, and it's not. And I don't know why. But, yeah. I guess I could spend the money. But not yet, not yet. But, yeah, so anyway, they're out, and what it boils down to, though, is people who got it, people who bought it and listened to it, seem to be really impressed with it. They seem to really be liking it. And a lot of the, a lot of the bonus material seems to be impressing them. I don't know. I've seen the bonus material on the Led Zeppelin albums that I love so much. And it's, while interesting at times, while okay, and even some of it's good, very little of it blows me away. So I can't imagine there's bonus material of the same ilk from albums I'm not that interested in. And, you know, and the bonus material is going to be great. Then it was, well, but I guess there's soundtracks too. Now this week, it's worth pointing out, this week I spent some time and I watched both Death Wish 2 and Lucifer Rising. I also got the Baba Buzelay version of the soundtrack, downloaded it, listened to it. Lucifer Rising's, they're both lousy movies to start with. They really are. Lucifer Rising is 26 minutes or 28 minutes. Of horrifically bad silent acting with the Bobby Buzelay soundtrack played over top. And it's at times interesting. And I get what, when you listen to Lucifer Rising, the Jimmy version, and you kind of see what they did with the movie, you get what Jimmy's thinking. Okay, so it's going to be some different, it's more soundscapes to accent the motion of these horrifically bad actors. So it makes some sense. You know, it's funny, I kind of got a taste for this this type of soundscape music. If I'm working, if I'm involved in a job that's physical, requires concentration, but is not, like I was doing some work, I was trying to get the neck off a guitar, and it requires you to kind of focus, but it's not A, physically difficult, but it is a physical job, and it's not B, mentally taxing at all, but you got to be paying attention, you got to come, and really, you put this music on, you put on the Bobby Buzelay the other day, I've done it with Jimmy's Lucifer Rising a couple of times, and I do pull it out when I'm working on, I've actually listened to it more than I've listened to Death Wish 2, and I've had Death Wish 2 for 30 some odd years, and matter of fact, I put Death Wish 2 on the other day, and was unimpressed again. But anyway, it's actually quite, you know, it focuses your mind. It really narrows you in and allows you to kind of just focus and concentrate on what you're doing. So I don't mind the music per se. I also watched Death Wish 2. It's a horribly bad movie. Charles Bronson can't act. And by the way, there's a snippet of Death Wish 2. My favorite, the line I remembered from 1982... my favorite line in the whole movie when he tracks down the first of the rapist, murderer, thug, killer bastards. And he's got him trapped in a corner of a parking garage, and the guy's got a big cross on his neck. And he says to him, "You believe in Jesus?" The guy says, "Yes, sir. You're going to meet him." It's either you're going to meet him or you're going to need him. I'm not sure which. I think it's meet him. And boom, 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 boom. Down he goes. So that's that. I threw that into the intro just, you know, for the memory for you guys as well as for me. It's at times a terrible movie, but it's interesting, you know, knowing the music now more, watching it, you kind of go, oh, the soundtrack. Yeah, well, there's that soundtrack. Oh, he's, and you see how they used the music in the soundtrack, and it's at times effective again. Really, the guy's dancing with their boombox. Couldn't it have just been Kashmir? You know what I mean? Yeah. But anyway, it's not a good movie, but the music works well within the movie. But throwing the album on, it's not. It still doesn't do anything for me. Weirdly, I would listen to Death Wish 2 before I would listen to that. Lucifer Rising before I listen to that. But anyway, the soundtrack is out. The soundtracks is out. There's bonus material to be had. I'll talk about it a bit next. I don't want to get too deeply into it. I presume in the next week or so, I will wind up with it. And we'll see where it goes. I'd be interested in hearing how much better it is. Is it really a better quality, music-wise? So let me know if you got it. Let me know. Is Lucifer Rising? Is it sound better now than it did 3 years ago? People are saying so, and that's bizarre to me. But anyway, I'm going to leave it at that. When I hear it, I'll talk about it a bit more. But we'll get some other stuff to talk about later in the month. Anyway, so that's it for Ramble on Radio, episode 91. Check RambleOnRadio.com for notes on this week's podcast, Led Zeppelin news and reviews, and any links mentioned in today's podcast. Follow Ramble on Radio on Facebook, Google Plus, and at Ramble on Blog on Twitter. You can subscribe to Ramble on Radio through iTunes. Leave a review. Listen on Spreaker. Be sure to follow Ramble on Radio on Spreaker. Go over to Podbean, P-O-D-B-E-A-N, Podbean, and follow I Am Brian Dammit. And check out Ramble on Radio on YouTube. Thanks for listening to Ramble on Radio, episode 91. Keep it cool. Peace.
I'm sure there'll be internet forums telling me what I'm doing.
Switch off the internet.